KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
The following program was taped in front of an audience of real live people.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Filling in for Bill Curtis, I'm the voice so deep, you need a lifeguard. Chioki Iansen, and here's your host at the Studebaker Theater at the Fine Arts Building in Chicago, Illinois, Tom Papa.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Papa, filling in for Peter Sagal, because my agent thinks Chicago in February is a great idea. We've got a great show for you today, and we'd like to say a big welcome to the millions of you who tuned in because you thought the Super Bowl was being broadcast on NPR this year. Right now, it's your turn to play the big game. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Tom. This is Edie calling in from Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, hi, Edie.
How's it going?
Good. What do you like to do down there in Virginia?
Well, I work in conservation and climate advocacy, and I like to go birding, spend time outside, you know. Yeah.
Someone just yelled, yay, for being outside. That's what it's going to be in the future, just humans going, we remember. Now, Edie, let's introduce you to our panel. First, a writer for Clean Slate. Season 1 is on Amazon Prime now, Shantira Jackson.
Hi, Shantira.
Hi.
Next, an actor and writer who can be seen in the acclaimed improv show Two Square at the UCB Theater in New York on February 27th, Peter Gross.
Hi.
Hi, Peter.
And a comedian who you can see in her Netflix special Big Guy or on tour, tickets and info at rachel-feinstein.com. Welcome to the panel, Rachel Feinstein.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tommy.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Well, welcome to the show, Edie. You're going to play Who's Chioki This Time? Chioki Iansen is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Any voice from our show you choose on your voicemail. You ready?
Am I ever.
Here's your first quote from the Wall Street Journal.
This is the dumbest trade war in history.
The Journal was talking about moves made by the U.S. government to slap what on Canada, Mexico, and China this week?
Would those be tariffs?
That's right, tariffs. They were supposed to take effect Tuesday, but 11th-hour negotiations delayed them, giving hardworking Americans a much-needed reprieve from having to figure out what tariffs are.
It feels like high school history class. To be talking about tariffs, you're like, what are those even?
Right. Yeah. Like, I'll just skip that one.
Yeah.
I know. This is like everything my husband screams about when he's drunk, like every libertarian guy. I'm like, now I have to understand it. Yeah. Every time he's drunk, he's like, you don't respect George Washington. I'm like, not really, but he's not the reason you can't drive right now.
If you're confused about how a 25% tariff on goods from Canada and Mexico might affect you, just think about it like this. Do you like eating food? Well, that's going to be way more expensive now.
It is amazing, though, that the Wall Street Journal is the one that's calling them out, because they're saying that it's a dumb idea, then it might actually be a dumb idea.
Yeah, I know. I always feel like when I see the Wall Street Journal, like in a lobby or something, I pick it up and I feel like, oh yeah, I know money.
I feel like I pick it up and the paper goes, please put me down.
Now I'm going to have to learn more Outlander words. I'm just so annoyed about that. I feel like tariff seems like just sounds like something you have to give like a troll to cross a bridge or something.
Grocery prices have gone up already, but don't worry. Despite the high price of eggs, Trump has promised all Americans will still be able to die of bird flu. So reassuring.
Did he lose the negotiation, though? Like, he wanted tariffs with Canada and Mexico.
Right.
And then he backed down pretty quick. So
yeah.
It doesn't seem like a win. or a good deal.
Well, it depends what channel you watch.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah. Depends how hot the reporter is talking about it.
Yeah, I was watching Fox, and they're like, he did it. They backed down. He gave him everything he wanted. And then I went over to CNN, and they're like, they said they're going to put 10,000 troops on the border, which they already have.
I feel like if the newscaster looks like she would like give you bottle service in Tampa, then you can't always trust the news.
All right, here's your next quote.
I'm stuck there for a half an hour watching stuff before it actually starts.
That was someone responding to a new law proposed by a Connecticut state senator to force movie theaters to tell us what?
When to arrive, how early to get there?
Because
we have to watch the ad.
Very good. When a movie starts.
Okay.
When it exactly starts. America needs a hero right now, and now we have one. Senator Martin Looney of Connecticut wants to require theaters to tell us exactly what time the movie actually starts so we don't have to sit through half an hour of ads and previews.
Wait. His last name is Looney?
Yeah. I know, Martin Looney just seems like a pretend name. It's like a wacky 80s movie of like a guy that owns a toy store or something.
It also could be like a character from a Marx Brothers movie.
Right? Like there's no way any...
Hi, President Martin Looney, come over here. Meet Tim Quackers, he's my Secretary of State.
Well, we've all been there. The showtime's at 7, so you get there at 6:40, but then traffic is light, so you end up in the theater while they're still playing commercials for the company that runs the commercials. It's getting way too long. And here's the crazy part. When Martin Luther King Jr. said the arc of the moral universe is long but bends toward justice, this is what he was talking about.
Yeah. This is our Black History Month joke.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? I laughed a little bit.
Yes.
On one hand, I was thinking, like, this maybe shouldn't be what the congressmen are working on right now. Like, I was like, is this what they
it's
should be?
It's the only thing they can do.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh, how can we get the people happy about one thing?
Yeah. I appreciate that padding, because it's just like 30 minutes I don't have to feel ashamed for being on my phone, you know, like, out of the day. And also, I feel like the person that wants to, like, they want that extra 30 minutes, like, I don't know, I feel like they're just, like, maybe in a happier marriage or something. Like I'll just, I love 30 minutes in the dark is all I want at the end of the day. Yeah.
All right, Edie, here's your last quote.
She would have been really slow.
That was a researcher talking about a new finding that the ancient human ancestor Lucy could do what?
Can I have a hint, please?
Sure. Her remains were found wearing a pair of Nikes.
So she could run slowly?
Yes, run. Good job. Using advanced computer modeling, researchers now believe the early hominid Lucy was capable of running. And this is true. While she couldn't run far, she also couldn't run fast.
Is it running then?
Also, we don't know what was going on in her life.
Is she the first? We don't know how fast was back then. She might have been the fast. If she's the only person we know running, if you're the only one running, you are the fast.
That's true. There might have been. Yeah.
That's true.
Just by process of elimination. Yeah.
She came in first and last.
But she came in first.
There was probably a slug, like a prehistoric slug, that was like, oh my God.
You know what? It's always people who don't do sports who are talking trash about people who do sports. You're in a lab, and that girl can run, okay?
Can you imagine falling out of a tree and dying, and then 3.2 million years later, they put your bones together to prove you were slow as hell? It's so unnecessary.
I know. It feels really...
Yeah. What's the next article going to be? Like, yeah, and she couldn't read either. Chioki, how did Edie do?
Well, I hope she chooses the right voice on her voicemail. Ooh. Because she got all three right.
There you go, Edie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for playing.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Edie.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Rachel, this week a proposal at a restaurant in China went awry when the woman being proposed to accidentally did what?
With a woman, oh, I'm supposed to actually know the answer to this?
Yeah, I can give you a hint.
Okay, give me a hint.
Okay, hiding the ring in dessert is not without risk.
Mm. Oh, she ate it.
That's right, she ate the ring,
she
very
did.
Good.
Oh my
oh,
God.
Oh dear, my star.
Good job. In a grand romantic gesture, the man had the restaurant hide a golden engagement ring in the cake that they ordered for dessert. Unfortunately, the woman never got a chance to say yes, yes, because she was too busy saying, yum cake.
Deep pig that she just had to stuff herself.
Here's
first.
The thing. What it's an his animal. Fault because the ring had to be too small if she was able to eat it.
All right.
Wow.
Get her a bigger rock.
Is it, not even just, she just ate it, not a choke, not a spit out.
Nothing.
She swallowed it?
She swallowed it.
They're not getting married.
I
feel like we need to know what dish she put it in. Yeah.
It was carrot cake, probably.
Yeah, a big mealy
cake.
Oh, I see what you did. I see what you did.
I did too, and I'm going to go now. No, that is like, that is just the stupidest possible idea. Because yeah. even if it, like, the best version of it is ends with her being like, what the hell is this? Like, pulling a ring out of her mouth.
It was really awkward afterwards when the guy got down on one knee behind her. And said, I'm going to have a really important question for you in about 6 hours. Coming up, turns out it's actually very easy to be green. Find out why in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Hey, it's Scott Detrow, the weekend host of All Things Considered. I've covered politics for a long time, and there's some of that on the show, but you'll also hear a whole lot more.
So I thought that I invented spoken word.
Psilocybin is one of these classic psychedelic drugs.
This deal goes so much farther than any of the other sports washing deals.
Join us to explore science, arts, sports, news, and beyond on All Things Considered on the weekends.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance. Progressive is looking for dedicated and forward-thinking individuals to join their growing team. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And Your Part-Time Controller, the nonprofit accounting specialists, providing financial management services to support stronger nonprofits who make the world a better place. Learn more at yptc.com/NPR. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Chioki Iansen. We're playing this week with Rachel Feinstein, Shantira Jackson, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois, Tom Papa.
Thanks, Chioki. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on air or check out the pin post on our Instagram page at WaitWaitNPR. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there. This is Chris Seymour in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yeah. What's going on in Brooklyn these days? How's February in Brooklyn?
It's more snow than you might actually want, or slush, but, you know, we're moving along.
All right, that's good. You sound like you're really enjoying
it. Brooklyn thing, I spent some time this afternoon clearing snow from in front of the community garden I'm a member of, so that's really Brooklyn.
Oh, that's very nice. That's really nice of you. I was doing that, too, before the show. Chicago. Well, it's nice to have you here, Chris. You're going to play our game in which you must try and tell truth from fiction. What's the topic, Chioki?
Why is everything green?
These days, everybody wants green things. Green witches and wicked. Green money. Greenland. This week, we heard a story where something new turned green. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one who's telling the truth, and you'll win the Wait Waiter of your choice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I guess so.
I love your confidence. First up, it's Shantira Jackson.
Many folks like to paint the town red, but one woman was truly flabbergasted when everything in her house was suddenly dyed green, including her cat. So, like any American seeking good advice, the woman turned to Reddit. She explained that she first noticed her cat's fur taking on a greenish tint before seeing that other items in her home, including her couch, phone charger, and wall, were also changing hues. She took her cat to the vet, had her AC and water checked, and even went to the doctor herself for answers and got none. She was totally at a loss until one Reddit user asked if the original poster had recently purchased some jeans from Old Navy. Apparently, there is a pair of jeans from Old Navy that are notorious for staining everything green. The woman claimed that neither she nor her husband wore jeans. They were strictly a slacks family. But something about the comment irked her and made her suspicious of an affair. She looked through her husband's phone, and lo and behold, there were, quote, some sexy Instagram DMs from a woman who wears jeans. He was, in fact, having an affair. Turns out green wasn't the color of jealousy, but rather the color of bargain-priced infidelity.
So that was Cheating Jeans Woman from Shantira Jackson. Your next story of something going green comes from Rachel Feinstein.
Oh, yeah, this is true. This is in a prodigious orchestra in Warsaw, Poland. The renowned musician Gustav Slavin, you guys know his work. He was playing his organ for the St. Paddy's Day waltz when he all of a sudden noticed that his hands had turned a rather sickly puke-colored green. That's right, his poor mitts had turned green. Basically, what he had was called organ's paw, and that's when your instrument kind of seeps onto your hands. And because he had a green organ, his hands turned green. And now it's known as a wider affliction called Slavin's paw that a lot of musicians have. Basically, it just turns your instrument. Can you just save me somehow? Oh, he founded the Organ's Paw Youth Alliance, which like helps like young musicians that are also rancid from Organ's Paw. I'm going to go put myself down rancid. Like a dog now. That is a medical term, going rancid from something.
Seems
yes.
Very convincing. Organ Paw from Rachel Feinstein. Your last story with a greenish hue comes from Peter Gross.
The staff at the local CVS in Belmore, New York, panicked when they didn't receive any of their Valentine's Day decorations. No red banners, no paper cupids, no heart-shaped boxes of chocolates for forgetful husbands to buy at 11:45 on February 14th. Corporate must have forgotten about us, said store manager Frank Fusco. So we had to improvise. Fusco and his employees raided their stock room for anything to spruce up the store. All they found was some green M&M tie-in posters left over from Christmas, 10 unopened boxes of pint-scented air fresheners, Hulk merchandise from the 2008 Hulk movie, and they saw a theme developing. Everything was all green, so they decided to lean in and make the whole store look like a golf course that had a three-way with an avocado and an alligator. Greenentine's Day was born. Customers really got into the spirit, dressing in as their favorite green pop culture characters. Peter Pan, Kermit, that thing from the Mucinex commercials. One guy dressed as Yoda even proposed to his wife in an Elphaba costume, which everyone agreed was kind of adorable and also very disturbing.
All right. So, Chris, you've got Shantira's story of a cheater leaving behind a green trail of lies, Rachel's story of an organist with a case of organ paw, and from Peter, CVS trying to make Greenentine's Day a thing. Which one is real?
I would love to believe in Slavin's paw.
It's Slavin's paw, by the way. It is real.
Oh, okay.
You know how many children you're hurting right now?
Sorry. I don't believe the CVS story. I think I have to go with the cheating genes and Shantira.
Okay. To find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone who reported on the real story.
She posted the pictures on the subreddit of this white cat with like a little green tinge, and someone said this would be a funny way if you found out your husband was having an affair.
That was MJ Bradford, wow. A radio announcer at Barry 360, talking about the cheater getting caught green-handed. Congratulations, Chris, you got it right. Well done. You earned a point for Shantira, and you've won our prize, the voice of your choice, on your voicemail. Thank you so much for playing with us today, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy Brooklyn.
It's not that easy being green.
And now, the game we call Not My Job. After being a part of improv groups at Second City and I.O. and interning for Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Vanessa Baer joined the cast of Saturday Night Live in 2010 and stayed with the show for 7 years. She's now celebrating SNL's 50th anniversary, but we swear it doesn't look a day over 45. Vanessa Baer, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
I'm a huge fan. We all are. It's so nice to actually get to talk to you. When you look at your body of work, you have this great ability of being so sweet and likable, and then you kind of have this subversive kind of cutting comedy. I guess my first question, in real life, are you as sweet as you look?
Oh, I mean, you could ask Rachel and Pete to an extent. I think I am sweet, but I do love to gossip.
Yes. That's a very honest and accurate description. Yeah,
right.
She's very lovely and warm, but she'll get into it. Yeah.
Vanessa has never clutched pearls around me once. Never seen her clutch her pearls. Yeah.
It seems that your whole family has a really great sense of humor. When I've heard you talk about your family, and especially they were especially helpful getting you through challenges when you were younger. Was that something that just came natural, or did that come out of the challenges?
I think that my dad was always very funny. My brother was always funny. My mom, my mom too, brag. But I think that me, you know, particularly when I was a teenager and I had leukemia, I think my family really, their senses of humor were like really, really came out. And I think it made us all kind of funnier because we learned that that was sort of a, you know, a thing that put us at ease. It put everybody we knew at ease. And so I think it made everyone funnier.
Right. Just to kind of get through it. And it's funny. I've heard you tell stories about how you start off just trying to like protect yourself and be strong, just to get through it. But then when the skies started clearing and it seemed like you were going to be okay, you didn't really stop taking advantage of some of the goodwill that people had towards you.
Like, I'm pretty sure I earned some like stuff forever. I would, you know, the big term in my family was dropping the L-bomb. Like, you know, my dad got out of the speeding ticket because he said that I was, this was like year, I was done with treatment and stuff. using it, you know, I feel like if you survive something like that, or honestly, if you survive anything, you should get perks forever.
Oh, yeah. At least like a Starbucks gift card.
Yeah, come on.
What did you get out of when you were a teenager? And got...
Well, the huge thing was gym class. I didn't have to do gym class, and that was like cute. I mean, who wants to, like, it's so demeaning, it's so disgusting that you have to be like a teenager and you're trying to look cool in front of everybody and you have to like go change into like shorts and like go like get sweaty and then like you can't shower, you just have to change back into your clothes and go to class. It's like, hello, this sucks. So I got out of gym class, that was the biggest thing. And then I sort of got out of like anything else I wanted to get out of, but the main thing was getting out of gym class was so great. I mean, I recommend it so much.
But also, I will say, to this day, you cannot climb up a rope and touch the top of the rope.
Right.
It's like one of her biggest flaws. Yeah.
And I have to live with that.
Yeah.
So that,
that's a trade-off. Yeah.
I've never heard about your audition for SNL. What was that like?
You know, I got myself into such a good headspace before my SNL audition. And I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy this. It feels like it's like going to lead to positive things. No matter. I mean, I'm a real big optimist. You can tell by the way I'm telling the story. But like, I just was so excited to be there. And I was like, I just want to be so present for this. Sorry to sound like, oh, we get it. But like, I want to be so present for this.
Yeah. And did you know when you were done that you had, in fact, nailed it?
I was told they're not going to laugh, so don't be offended if they don't laugh. Nobody laughs.
Right.
They did laugh. I remember after my first character, they laughed, and I was like, whoa, I didn't even think this was possible.
What was the character? Then,
was it the bar mitzvah kid?
No, I did a different little boy who is really into rocks.
I
didn't.
I love that there's multiple.
Multiple little boys.
It's incredible.
Yeah. He was really into rose quartz.
Oh, man. and they laughed right away.
Yeah, they laughed right away. And then they called me back a week later, and I met with Lorne, and that was really exciting. And then I was told I would hear within the next day, and then so my parents stayed up all night.
Oh, that's great.
We didn't hear. And I remember my parents were freaking out, and I was like, 24 hours to them is like, it's longer.
Yeah.
And right. Then like a week later, I got a call from a producer.
A week later. Well, before we play the game, Rachel says, you really like gossip. Is there any gossip you want to drop?
You guys talk about Tom.
Yeah. I will say that Tom's been extremely inappropriate. Sage, yeah. I didn't feel safe. He was just, yeah.
People don't do this when Peter hosts. Vanessa Bayer, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's a Golden Jubilee.
Okay.
You're helping SNL celebrate their golden 50th anniversary, but they're not the only one turning 50 this year. Answer our three questions about other things that started in 1975, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of their choice, on their voicemail. Chioki, who is Vanessa playing for?
Liz Ward of Austin, Texas.
All right, here's your first question. Jaws turns 50 this year and wouldn't be nearly as iconic without John Williams' memorable two-note theme. When he first played it for Steven Spielberg, what was the director's response? A, he got so scared he fled the studio in terror. B, he reminded Williams that they were only paying him per note, so he better step it up. Or C, he said, quote, that's funny, John. Really, what did you really have in mind for the theme of Jaws?
My guess is C.
You're right, C. Very good. That was fast, with confidence. Okay, here's your next question. 50 Cent turned 50 this year, and almost as famous as his music is his feud with fellow rapper Ja Rule. Things got so heated at one point that 50 Cent did what? A, convinced Ja Rule to invest in this super cool and not at all shady thing called the Fyre Festival. B, bought 200 front row tickets to a Ja Rule concert so he'd have to perform to an empty arena. Or C, bought the URL jarule.com and made the homepage just say, more like Ja Fool.
Okay, I feel like I answered too quickly last time.
But you got it right.
Okay. Well, here we go, and here comes the answer.
Vanessa, we don't have as much time as you think, so just really just get to it.
My guess is B.
You're right. B.
Whoa.
That was really rough.
What a tough.
That's so funny that he did that.
I know.
It's also mean.
It's so mean. All right, here's your last question.
Okay.
Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton married for the second time in 1975, with Taylor saying, quote, "We married once again, back where we belonged, where we always belonged." What did she say 10 months later? A, quote, "These have been the most beautiful 10 months of either of our lives." B, quote, "Were you to look up love in the dictionary, certainly you'd see a picture of Richard and me." Or C, quote, "We can't be together."
I'm going to say C.
You're right, C.
Wow, just C. I was going to say it's all three.
The couple divorced shortly afterwards. Chiocchi, how did Vanessa Bayer do on our quiz?
Well, here's the gossip on Vanessa Bayer. She got all three right.
Yeah.
Nice job. Vanessa Bayer is an actor and comedian who's celebrating SNL's 50th anniversary. Vanessa Bayer, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday.
In just a minute, if you're wondering what gross thing should I rub on my face today, in the Listener Limerick Challenge, we have your answer. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. When you roll out of bed, bleary-eyed and groggy, if you're like me, the first thing on your mind is getting something to wake you up. So turn on the radio. NPR's daily news program, Morning Edition, has been working through the night to get you the news you need. It's as essential to your morning as a good cup of coffee. So hit the ground running by listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. BetterHelp, committed to making mental well-being a priority and offering support in taking on everything life demands, with therapists available to communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public. And Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one platform. Learn more at indeed.com/NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Chioki Iansen. We're playing this week with Peter Gross, Rachel Feinstein, and Chantira Jackson. And here again is your host at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, Illinois, Tom Papa.
Thanks, Chioki. In just a minute, it's the Super Bowl of early 18th century literary forms, the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from this week's news. Chantira, according to the Washington Post, as more people stopped drinking alcohol during January, they started drinking what instead?
Whiskey.
No.
Water.
Would you like a hint?
Yeah, I would love that because I know a lot of drinks.
Okay.
You named two of my favorites just now.
I'm not doing dry January. I'm doing high January.
CBD drinks?
Marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. For anybody who ever accidentally drank bong water and thought, yes, please. It's drinkable cannabis. According to distributors, it's incredibly popular among parents aged 35 to 55, which is not surprising if you've been to any block party in the last 2 years.
What? So, but I've heard that cannabis drinks are not as powerful as other forms of cannabis. Is anyone here in the audience? Feel free.
I've heard from myself.
Yes, what is yourself?
I've heard from myself. There's like different versions.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you're gonna fall asleep anyway, so.
Also, it's like, is it dry January if you're getting like,
right.
You're altering yourself with something that isn't alcohol. So it's not really dry. You're literally drinking, which is the opposite. There is liquid, which is the opposite of dryness.
Yeah.
I'm sober. I just smoke tons of weed.
California it's basically sober. When you're not sober and you're lying about being sober.
That's when you're like, I'm on ayahuasca, but I'm sober.
Why are you shooting heroin? Dude, it's dry January. Peter.
Yes.
A new essay in the New York Times recommends that those in need of peace, meditation, and community simply go where?
Heaven. As fast as possible. peace. Can I take a hint?
Nothing more soothing than the sound of a urinal flushing.
I guess they would go to a bathroom?
Yes, public bathrooms.
Public bathrooms.
Yes. The columnist says public restrooms are the perfect place to escape awkward social functions, high-stress work situations, and breathable air. Have you ever escaped to a public bathroom and said, ah?
I've escaped from a public bathroom.
I love the idea of community, that they're going in there for community.
Community is a little confusing.
Yeah.
That's...
I think I do love public restrooms. girls out in a club, there's nothing better than 2 o'clock in the morning, freaking Destiny's Child on the radio, in a girl's bathroom. It's the most fun place on the planet. It's the nicest.
What's happening in
there?
We're
having more fun than you guys. That's for sure.
I can't tell you, but everybody's so nice. There's infinite tampons. It's just like.
That's what I said, heaven.
Yeah.
It's not just tamps, Tommy.
No.
We're giving each other sponge baths in there. That's
whoa.
Right.
This is what I really thought was happening in there.
Everybody's so nice. You just walk in, and then drunk girls are like, you look so beautiful. And it's like, thank you.
If I went into a bathroom and Tom was there, I wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah.
If you hadn't seen each other in 50 years.
No.
But even if
not till you get out.
Pretty.
You can't be standing at a urinal and going, "You look great." Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you like to play on air, call or leave us a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Also, you can catch us most weeks here at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago, and come see us on the road at the Walt Disney Theater in Orlando, Florida on March 20th. Tickets and info at nprpresents.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Jeremiah Donahall calling from beautiful Brooklyn, South Dakota.
Ooh, nice to meet you, Jeremiah. What goes on in South Dakota in the winter?
Not much, but a bunch of blowing snow.
Welcome to the show, Jeremiah. Chioki Iansen is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in the last word or phrase correctly on two limericks, you're a winner. Here's your first limerick.
My skin has a roughened savanna feel, but Botox and balms are a grandma's deal. I'll try something funky, this fruit from a monkey. I'm rubbing my face with...
banana peel?
That's right, banana peel. According to beauty influencers and 14-year-olds on TikTok, the enzymes in banana peels can plump and brighten up your skin as a cheaper, more potassium-rich alternative to Botox. And according to scientists, no, they can't.
Bananas. Everybody turns to bananas. Like when you were young, was there a rumor that you could like smoke banana peels?
Yeah, you could get high off.
Yeah, I heard that too. What was that?
It was that you have to dry them out in the oven, and like it was all BS. I mean, it's like everybody just go. Like I'm sure some guy will be like, if you're having trouble down there sexually, just take a banana and just smush it in your pants.
Well, that one is true. All right, here's your next limerick.
Since there's a loss in the big coffee game, we'll return to the source of our fame. We will keep messing up what we write on your cup. We've gone back to misspelling your...
name.
That's right, name. Hoping to reverse falling sales, Starbucks decided to return to their roots of writing your name on your cup as a random collection of squiggles with a toxic marker. And it's working. Starbucks beat expectations last quarter. The CEO credits their approach of going back to basics on some things, like ceramic mugs if you order to stay, and keeping things that work, like pretending a caramel mocha frappuccino is a coffee drink and not a hot fudge sundae.
Do you have a Starbucks name? Do you have like a name that you give when you go to so that they always get it?
Yes.
I mean, your name's Tom, so I don't know how. They're messing up Shantira left and right.
Yeah. It depends where I am. Like this week, I kept using Peter Sagal.
Another free coffee, Mr. Sagal, then you get to see him.
Leave it on my tab.
Here's your last limerick.
Hopping each day makes my rump dope. And my cardio hops gave that chump hope. He made a mistake and fell into a lake, but I soon pulled him out with my...
jump rope?
Yes, you're right.
Nice.
Jump rope. Professional jump roper David Fisher was out for a walk near a frozen pond when he heard someone screaming for help. Immediately, he sprung into action, grabbed his extra long double Dutch rope, and dragged the person and their dog out of the water. While he was doing it, our hero could be heard saying, "See, Dad, could an accounting degree do that?"
Yeah, can we back up to professional jump roper for a second?
No, it exists. Every time I go to a hotel, I'll probably do it tonight, I always go to like ESPN 8 and watch the wildest sports there ever was.
Yeah.
There's like a soccer golf I saw one time. There's definitely professional juggling.
This is like a grown man. Like I would assume a professional jump roper would be like a 13-year-old girl or something like that. Just in terms of the skill that is needed, those are the people I see excelling at it the most.
Yeah, but, 10,000 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Chioki, how did Jeremiah do?
He got all three right.
Nice work, Jeremiah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your winter.
I'll sure try.
Give him a big round of applause, everybody. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Chioki, can you give us the scores?
Peter has 3 points. Rachel has 4 points. Shantira has 5 points.
Yes, she does.
Oh, boy. So, Peter, you're in third place,
okay.
So you're up first.
Good.
The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, President Trump faced widespread criticism for his proposal that the U.S. take over blank.
Oh, Gaza?
Right. On Wednesday, former Senate Majority Leader blank slipped and fell outside the Senate chamber.
Oh, that kooky Mitch McConnell.
Right. This week, a doctor in Italy is being investigated for giving blank an unauthorized CAT scan.
A cat?
Yes. He gave his cat a CAT scan.
That was impressive.
On Thursday, scientists discovered a new blank that could hit the Earth in 2182.
Asteroid?
That's right. Yeah. In good news for anyone struggling with the price of eggs, a new AI bot has recommended a cheaper alternative.
Human eggs.
Close. Cow eggs. The new French AI called Lucy was quickly taken off the market after it recommended eating cow eggs as a healthy and affordable breakfast. Programmers quickly corrected the mistake, and now Lucy suggests starting breakfast with a big bowl of cereal swimming in chicken milk. Chioki, how did Peter do?
Peter got 5 right for 10 more points. That's a total of 13, so Peter has the lead.
Okay. So, Rachel, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Despite questions of legality, the White House began sending migrants to blank.
Guantanamo Bay.
Right. On Tuesday, big box chain Blank Co. announced they were raising most worker pay to $30 an hour.
You know, sometimes when I do trivia, my mind just closes like a box. Can you just give me the answer?
You're right. Costco. This week, the U.S. Treasury acknowledged that Blank had access to their servers.
Elon Musk.
Right. According to a new study, the amount of blanks found in a human body is rising rapidly.
Well, it's not bones.
Microplastics. This week, a man in New York who got out of jury duty by saying he thinks all defendants are guilty was forced to resign from his job as blank.
As a judge.
Yes, as a New York City judge. On Sunday, Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce were the big winners at the 2025 Blank Awards.
Grammy Awards?
That's right. After selling a stove that was responsible for almost 30 house fires, LG announced they were sending customers who bought the oven blank.
Refrigerator?
A warning sticker to put on their ovens. It might seem like an insufficient response, but don't worry, the company has promised that the stickers will be 100% fireproof. Chioki, how did Rachel do?
Oh, snap. Rachel got 5 right for 10 more points. She has a total of 14. Rachel's in the lead.
Wait,
Rachel's in the lead.
How can this be?
Chioki, how many points does Shantira need to win?
She needs only 5 to win.
5 to win. Okay, Shantira, this is for the game. This week, FBI agents filed a class action lawsuit against Trump's Department of Justice over alleged retribution following the investigation into blank.
Everything he's ever done. election interference.
Right, January 6th. On Wednesday, 6 dairy herds in Nevada tested positive for a newer strain of blank flu.
Bird flu?
Right. In the latest of many such incidents, a zoo in China is under fire for blanking.
Making all the animals go to bed early.
Close. For painting 2 dogs orange and black and insisting they're tigers. On Tuesday, search giant blank updated its AI ethics policy.
Google?
Right. After winning a legal battle, a supermarket in Costa Rica owned by a man named Mario can continue to be called...
Nintendo.
Super Mario's.
Oh.
In Costa Rica, almost every supermarket is called Super Something. But Nintendo challenged Mario Gonzalez's attempt to register his supermarket using his own name. But this week, a judge ruled that while the Super Mario trademark covered clothing and games, it did not apply to the category of independent Costa Rican grocery store. Chioki, did Shantira do well enough to win?
Well, Shantira got 3 right for 6 more points, total of 11. So on her inaugural appearance, Rachel Feinstein is this week's winner of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict if Lucy's bad at running, what will we learn she is good at? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism. The NPR Wine Club, bringing people wines inspired by NPR shows. Whether purchasing a few bottles or joining the club, every purchase supports NPR. Available for adults 21 or older, nprwineclub.org. And Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com, not available in California or from all agents. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our tour manager is Shayna Donald. Thanks to the staff and crew at the Studebaker Theater. B.J. Letterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, and Lillian King. Special thanks to Vinnie Thomas and Monica Hickey. Peter Gwynn is certified. Emma Choi is our vibe curator. Our jolly good fellow is Hannah Anderson. Technical direction, Lorna White. Our CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chilag. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will we find out Lucy was good at? Shantira Jackson.
Drinking enough water, and not just because she forgot to drink water earlier.
Rachel Feinstein.
Well, she was tiny, so I guess, like, I don't know, dancing on bars or, like, jigs or something.
Peter Gross.
She was super slow, but she always knew when to show up at the movie theater exactly when the movie started.
And if any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Chioki Iansen, filling in for Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Shantira Jackson, Peter Gross, Rachel Feinstein, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Tom Papa, filling in for Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring 2-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Oh, Lord, it is Matilda. Believe me, friends, it's Matilda. What it is at all? Matilda, she take me money and run Venezuela. Everybody.
Matilda.
What it is at all?
Matilda.
Lord, I got a fall.
Matilda, she take my money and run Venezuela.
$5,000, friends, a loss. The woman even sell me cat and horse. Oh, Lord, Matilda, she...